Can I challenge you this morning and encourage you not to build alliance with people who don't follow God? Don't do that. It never works out. If you're in a difficult problem, if you're going through a difficult time, turn to somebody who believes in Jesus Christ. Turn to someone who follows this book. Don't go looking through Wikipedia and Google trying to find answer to your problems.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Our Shepherd King by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible, from the way we worship, to the way we serve, to the way we love one another. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
We're in a series called Royal, looking at how Jesus is the King who came as promised, as prophesied, to save the world, to save His people. Jesus Christ is the true King. In fact, He is the Shepherd King. What does that mean to be a Shepherd King? It means He leads, He protects, He guides, He provides for His people. He is even willing to lay down His life for His sheep. This morning, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. We're going to see a very familiar passage. We have read this at Christmas time. I'm sure all of you have heard it, seen it, the shepherd narrative. But why? Why did God send His angels to the shepherds? Why were they invited to come and see the newborn king in Bethlehem? This morning we're going to learn why the shepherds. You have your Bibles, Luke chapter 2. Let's stand together for the reading of God's word. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Can't blame them. They're afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." What is the good news? "For there is born to you," pay attention to these words, "for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger," something like a feeding trough. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Before I pray and we get into this message, why the shepherds? Question for all of us is, have you heard the good news? I know it's a cliche. Have you heard the good news? Have you heard the gospel? But truly, have you heard the good news? You see, the good news is good because there is a bad news. The bad news is God's wrath is upon you. Every one of us is born a sinner. Every one of us sins, and we deserve God's judgment. But the good news is that the perfect Son of God came and took your punishment upon Himself, so you don't have to. But you see, the good news cannot be good news for you until you accept it. You have to pray, and you have to ask Him to save you and to be your King. Have you done that? Now, this is our final message in this series called Royal. Many of y'all have shared with me how much you have enjoyed this series of messages and how much you have learned. And I have too. People think I already know all this information. Not really. When I'm preparing a message or a series, I'm spending a lot of time understanding it for myself first, and then I'm ready to preach. You see, repeatedly the Bible refers to Jesus as our king. It is hard for us to understand and appreciate that because we didn't grow up in a monarchy. But when you study the Bible, repeatedly the Bible talks about God being our king. But even more, Jesus, the Son of God who came and died on the cross for our sins, is repeatedly depicted as our king. So if you fail to appreciate the kingship of Jesus, you're going to miss out on most of what the Bible has to say. But this morning, Jesus is our shepherd king. To understand this, there are two things we're going to look at very carefully. Basically, two points in this message. That's easy, amen? Two things. Number one, we need to change the image we have of shepherds. I'm sure, just like me, you heard many, many messages through the years of how shepherds were the low class of society. How shepherd represented the poor common folk. So when God sent his angel to the shepherds, it was to remind us that he cares about the poor common folk. Now folks, that may be true, but I don't believe that that is the real reason why the angel went to the shepherds. Sometimes you've heard messages where shepherds are described as thieving, conniving, crooked people. You know, they are rustlers. They go around stealing sheep. Just like back in the 1800s, you know, there were rustlers out west stealing horses. But when you study history, that's not what you find. Yes, there were shepherds who were thieves, but not all shepherds were stealing sheep all the time. So what needs to happen for us to appreciate that Jesus is our shepherd king, we need a positive image of the shepherd. Positive image. Let's look at verse 8 one more time. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields. Now that's a big job. You could be at home, but you're out there in the fields because your sheep need to eat. I mean, that's hard work. And it's not just in the daytime, but it's at night. What do you have in the nighttime? You have wild animals. You have thieves and bandits and robbers. So it's dangerous. And yet, what does it say? Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields. What were they doing? Just sleeping? They were keeping watch over their flock by night, which means they were responsible shepherds. They were faithful shepherds. I want you to keep that in mind as we go further into the message. You see, we have to change our image and our understanding of shepherds. Did you know that in ancient times, the shepherd imagery was commonly used to designate gods and kings? Did you know that gods were called shepherds by even ancient cultures? Did you know that kings were usually depicted as shepherds? I'm going to give you some quick examples. Sumerian gods, like the god Enlil, were known as faithful shepherds. The god Marduk was known as a shepherd to his people. Go back to 2000 BC, about the same time as Abraham. In Mesopotamia, the king of Uruk is called a shepherd to his people. What does that mean? It means he cares for his people. It means he provides for his people. It means he protects his people. What I'm trying to get you to understand is we have to discard the negative image we have of shepherds as this low-lying, dirty, worthless people that God said, okay, I'm going to go to them, those. And I know some good messages have been preached that way. I preached one years ago, but I wasn't going to mention that. But since we're being honest, I'm in church, I got to tell the truth. I preach those messages too. But the more I studied, I realized these are messages that we have created. They don't fit the evidence. How about in the Bible? Did you know in the Bible, repeatedly, God is described as a shepherd to his people? I'll give you several references very quickly. Genesis 49:24. When Jacob is blessing Joseph, he says, the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, for there is the shepherd. Jacob describes God as a shepherd to his son Joseph. In Exodus 15, 13, I don't want to read every verse, but Moses, when he's describing how God led the people out of Egypt, he says, it's like a shepherd he guided them with his long arm. Listen to Isaiah 40, verse 11. Isaiah is prophesying God's future care for his people, and he says, God will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm, and he will carry them in his bosom. You see the tender imagery of a shepherd picking up the lamb and carrying it? What Isaiah is saying is that's how God cares for his people. And then he says this. This is powerful to me. And gently leading those who are with young. Means God is not harsh. God is not impatient. If there is a person there who is struggling, God doesn't say, but get on with it. Let's get moving. Just like a shepherd sees a pregnant sheep, he will wait and let her get up on her own time. He's patient. You see, that's how God is to us. Jeremiah 13, 17. Jeremiah is sorrowing for the sins of the people. Listen to what he says. He says, my eyes weep bitterly and run down with tears because the Lord's flock has been taken captive. God's people have been described as a flock. We are the sheep of his pasture. Being a shepherd, you have to be patient. Being a shepherd, you have to be protective, right? Sheep are over there grazing away, and here comes a lion. What did David have to do? What was his job? He was a shepherd. He fought the lion. He fought the bear. You see, repeatedly, God's leaders in the Bible were shepherds, leading actual sheep. And then they led people. And then we read Psalm 23. Do y'all want to read Psalm 23? That did not sound very convincing. Well, those who would like, I would encourage you to read with me. How about that? Psalm 23, verse 1. Y'all ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Which means this, the goal of the shepherd is to get his sheep back into the pen. The goal that God has for you is to bring us safely home. So before we can understand how Jesus is our shepherd king, we have to understand that shepherds were not looked upon as negatively or low-lying scums of the earth. In fact, they were looked upon as gods and kings. My question to you this morning, before we go to the second point, how do you see God? Do you view God as a dictator? You know, some people view God as a weak old man. I want to challenge you this morning to give a new image to God, that of a shepherd. God is your shepherd. He leads you. He guides you. Sometimes, are y'all listening? He may even put that crook around your neck and yank you out. It doesn't feel good when he does that, amen? You're like, no, let me stay here. There's more grass on the other side of the ditch. God says, no, you're about to fall into a pit. When you go through the valley of the shadow of death, difficult times in your life, they may be physical, financial, relational, singleness, whatever you're facing in your life, do you know that he is there with you? And what is his goal? To bring you safely home. You know, that's what Paul says, that he has this confidence that he who has begun a good work in you will what? Will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So there is a positive image, and I pray this morning you will choose to see God. You will choose to see him as a shepherd rather than anything else. But here's number two, the second point. The prophecy of the shepherd king. Now go back to Luke chapter 2 verse 15. Listen to what it says. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, gone away from the shepherd into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass. Listen to this. Which the Lord has made known to us. My question is, why did God choose to send his message to the shepherd? Why the shepherds? Well, to understand that, you have to go back 800 years. 800 years before the coming of Jesus Christ. What was happening 800 years before the coming of Christ? Well, keep in mind, after King Solomon, the nation of Israel was divided into two halves. The north and the south, just like we did back in the Civil War. There was the north and then there was the south. So also, God's people of Israel were divided into the northern kingdom that kept their name Israel. But the southern kingdom, which was predominantly the tribe of Judah, took the name Judah. The north was repeatedly going into sin. And God told them, it's a matter of time. You are going to lose the land. You're going to be driven out. And a prophet by the name of Micah came to the southern kingdom. And he told them, listen, you keep looking to your God. He's going to save you. You see, the southern kingdom of Judah was surrounded by enemies who were waiting to attack them. To the south were the Edomites. To the west were the Philistines. To the north, their own brothers and sisters, Israel. And further to the north was Syria. They were surrounded by enemies waiting to pounce on them. So what did their kings do? They said, we need help. So they decided, let me go back to this map right here. They decided to go to who? To Assyria for help. They said, maybe Assyria can help us conquer Syria and Israel and be our friend. Let's build an alliance with the Assyrians. Micah said, oh no, do not do that. Can I challenge you this morning and encourage you not to build alliance with people who don't follow God? Don't do that. It never works out. If you're in a difficult problem, if you're going through a difficult time, turn to somebody who believes in Jesus Christ. Turn to someone who follows this book. Don't go looking through Wikipedia and Google trying to find answer to your problems. But the people of Judah said, oh, we don't care. We're going to the Assyrians because God has forsaken us. And Micah promised them, he said, look, God is coming to save you. Wait on him. But if you turn to Assyria, not only will Assyria come and destroy Syria and Israel, but he's going to destroy you as well. And just the way he prophesied, it happened. The people did not listen. They turned to Assyria. Assyria came. If you notice the map, and it vanquished Syria. By the way, those are two different nations. And then it went after Israel, took them into Assyrian exile. And just when the kings of Judah thought, oh, we're safe. He said, oh, no, you're not. And he started marching towards Jerusalem. But then in the midst of all that, Micah gave a prophecy, a promise. And I want you to see that promise in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. It's on the screen. But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, as the Assyrian army is coming, and King Ahaz is refusing to turn to God, Micah says, King is coming, wait on him. He's like, I don't see any help. Micah says, but you, Bethlehem, you go back to this map right here, there is Bethlehem, a tiny little village. Listen to Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah. You see how big Judah is, and I just gave you half the map. Look how tiny Bethlehem. Jerusalem was big. Bethlehem was like a speck. But there was something about Bethlehem. What was about Bethlehem? Can anybody tell me? It was the birthplace of David. It was known as the city of David. So Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth, what's the word? A ruler. Means a king is coming. A descendant of David, the right king, is coming. But something else about this king, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting. In other words, although he will be born, yet he has no beginning. 800 years before the coming of Jesus Christ, the prophet Micah prophesied that someone is coming who will be born, but he has no beginning. When people say things like, Bible is not the word of God, Jesus is not, Jesus is just like any other, you know, famous prophet, they haven't studied the Bible. Folks, 800 years before the coming of Jesus, it was prophesied he's coming. The exact town he was going to be born, what he was going to be like, that he was going to be a king who will be born, and yet he has no beginning, which means what? He is God. What else? Verse 4, and he shall stand. This is powerful. I want you to look at the screen, not at me. I know I'm good looking, but I want you to look at the screen. And he shall stand and feed his flock. Means he will not just be another king. He will be a shepherd king. And what will he feed them with? In the strength of the Lord. Wow. In the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Means he will feed people the truth coming straight from heaven. And they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. Verse 5, and this one shall be peace. What was Jesus called? He was called the Prince of Peace. When the Assyrian comes into our land, did the people listen? Of course not. Would you have listened? Of course not. I mean, you're in the midst of a crisis. You got that phone call that says, we need to bring you back in because we saw some abnormalities on your chart. Would you come back in? Or you get that phone call, your son or your daughter were in a wreck. You know, you're going through a difficult time. Now you're in and out of the hospital. Or you're going through a difficult time. You lost your job. Or your marriage is in trouble. And someone comes to you and says, brother, just look to God. What do you say at that point? Look to God. I'm looking to God right now. I need some answers here. Here's a question very quickly as we come to the conclusion. Why did God do that? Why did God not answer their prayers immediately and defeat the Assyrians and raise up the people of Judah? Why did he tell them that one day my king is coming who will be from the line of David and he will be a shepherd king and he will save his people? Why did God do this? I want you to hear carefully, because God did not want to put a band-aid on their problem. He was scheduling surgery for them. The time had passed, and the people were not listening anymore to repent from their sins and turn to God. And God said, it's time for my son to come in this world. It's time for him to come and die for their sins. And all those people can do is look to him and live. Are y'all getting this? The shepherd has to come. Folks, your problem, what you're facing right now in your life, and I hope the one who needs to hear will hear carefully and hear openly and willingly. Your problem, your solution is nothing but Jesus Christ. What you need in your life is Jesus Christ. You're looking to this person and that idea and that show and that book. What you need is Jesus Christ. He will change and transform your life, your marriage, your home, everything. So what happens? 800 years later, there were these shepherds, faithful shepherds, brave shepherds, lying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And what happens? The angel comes. You know, these shepherds, some people think they were temple shepherds, and that could be the case, and I preached that way before, but there is no evidence for that. I believe they were symbolic. Are y'all awake? They were symbolic of the faithful good shepherds who were waiting for the chief shepherd to arrive. Unlike King Ahaz of Judah, who was an unfaithful shepherd who did not take care of his sheep, these shepherds were actually taking care of their sheep. You see the imagery there? How beautiful. The more I study the Bible, the more I realize I don't know the Bible. The depths of the knowledge and the wisdom of God. And what happened in verse 17, this is beautiful, and we close with this. What do the shepherds do? When they had seen him, the angel, they made wide, well, the baby Jesus, they went and saw the baby Jesus. When they saw him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. These poor shepherds faithfully shared the good news. The good shepherd has come. This morning, the question to all of us is Jesus your shepherd king?
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Jesus is our Shepherd King. Just as a shepherd cares for his flock, Jesus cares for, guards, and protects us. Do you understand what it means to be cared for by the Shepherd King? Do you see Jesus as your good shepherd? Are you saved? Submit yourself to the care of your Shepherd King today. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.